We are Michael Veazey in London, England,
and Jason Miles in Seattle, Washington.
More importantly, you are the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be. We're here to get you there. For show notes with links and resources mentioned today, and for other GC resources like downloads, just visit our blog, theecommerceleader.com. Being ready for the holiday season is absolutely critical for your store's or Amazon success. That's why Capital Advance from today's sponsor, Payoneer, could be exactly what you need. Capital Advance gives you working capital to spend on anything that helps you grow your business. Use it to buy more inventory or more advertising or whatever you want. Offers feature a single fixed fee and a gradual settlement plan. Just go to payoneer.com/capital for a free consultation with a working capital expert today.
There's a growing trend that's exciting to watch. It's called live commerce. It's also called live selling or streaming commerce. It's basically where you turn on your webcam and start selling. In this episode, we're going to discuss the trend, the tools, the techniques involved, give you some real examples from some of my clients that we've been working with, and really dig into this powerful online selling tool. Michael, are you ready to talk about live selling?
Absolutely. Yeah, sounds fascinating. And I have to confess, this is absolutely new to me, which is kind of shocking for somebody who's supposed to have his finger on e-commerce. It's passed me by, so I'm really fascinated to hear about this.
Great. Yeah. You know, it was new to me as well this last year. And I basically had several clients who told me what they were doing. And at first, I had one client that was told me what he was doing. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. But it was sort of an abstraction to me, you know. And then we had a new client come in and they said, this is what we're doing. And it was the exact same process almost. And I said to myself, okay, wait. There's a trend here. Something is happening in the e-commerce marketplace. And so I really started to research and actually started to do some of these things myself and use some of these tools myself. And so in researching it, I've really become sort of a fan of this approach. And I'm interested by it, but I think there are going to be a lot of listeners to our podcast who are going to be very interested in it as well. And so I'm excited to talk about it today.
Yeah, it's really cool. And what makes me trust it is, as a trend, is this. It's not just platform specific. I mean, there are particular platforms mm-hmm. I'm sure we're going to get into. But from the little research I've done and you're sort of pre-educating me before the podcast, it's clear yeah. that it's a trend that's kind of grown out of the origins of sort of pre-online shopping, which was pick up the phone and buy mm-hmm. from TV advertising or TV channels. Interesting that it sort of has a history, if you like. So yeah, tell me about what your clients are doing then, and why do you think it's gaining in popularity so fast?
You know, I think that there's a very simple use case for this that makes it easy to try out. And that is really in the consumer goods for things like fashion, you know, clothing, those types of online sellers. They've seen QVC or Home Shopping Network. At least those are in the US, those are the two channels. I don't know in UK if there's other channels that are similar, but you get the idea. You know, the television channels, they've seen those and they've watched them do the professionals do this for years. I mean, 20 years or whatever on TV. And now all the tools are available to do this yourself online. And I think many of these people have said to themselves, dang, I can do this. I mean, there's nothing stopping me from basically creating my own version of, you know, QVC or Home Shopping Network television type broadcast. You know?
Fascinating. I mean, what in a sense, as soon as you put it that way, it feels strange, not that it's happening, but it's strange that it's taken so long to happen. You know, it sounds yeah. like a strange yeah. thing to say, but you know, it's such a logical development of something. 20 years is almost infinite in terms of internet years. That's in dog years. That's like a century. So yeah, amazing. So yeah, something's happened. Something's changed.
It is. And I would say that there's actually a lot of energy around this from the UK. In fact, I was just reflecting on, as we were doing the show, my trip to Birmingham, to NEC, which is a huge trade show conference center. And we went there for the largest European sewing, commercial sewing show in the summer of 2019. And we couldn't go this year because of COVID stuff, but we hope to go back next year. But anyway, when we were there, and this is massive. I mean, I know some people might hear the sewing thing and they think, oh, it's just, you know, a couple hundred, you know, older gals in a few booths. Trust me, it is a massive, massive. I mean, I think they had something like 60,000 people there, and it is just huge. And anyway, right in the middle of the whole conference trade show floor, with thousands of people and hundreds of booths, probably thousands of booths, there was a huge TV studio. And all day long, they were doing live broadcasting on several TV stations in the UK. And so we asked one of our volunteers, because it was all new to us. We had never been to NEC. We had never been to the show there. And we had never seen anybody doing live, you know, TV work, like, you know, studio set type thing. And so our volunteer said, you know, they do several channels, do sewing 24/7, 365, just sewing channels in the UK. And they were just selling. I mean, they were just up there selling the whole time. And just to watch it was mesmerizing. And then as I started to dig into this with my clients, they would send me examples. And many times it was European folk. I mean, you know, Ireland, UK examples. So I do think it's become popularized there for some reason. I don't know, maybe it's because of the TV work there, but it's an interesting development. I think maybe the European crowd is leading the way on this. So.
Yeah, traditionally, I guess the US is seen as leading most sort of internet-based stuff. But I think one of the things that's important that's come out of the little bit of research I've done is that, never mind Europe, China is leading the trend with a heck of a lot of stuff.
Certainly.
Which is probably not surprising because they've developed a sort of consumer, I was about to say capitalist, I suppose, but it's not sort of democratic capitalism, it's a new version, but they've developed consumer culture in an incredible speed, and thus they've got new norms, and the people who have got used to having money to buy consumer brands or, you know, whatever they're buying, have really grown up with capitalism at the same era as it's been electronic buying. And whereas Americans, lest we forget, it's a very rural culture. There's that big divide politically, culturally, whatever. The percentage of people in America who live in rural settings and are probably geographically a long way from centers of shopping, and their lifestyle is very, very different. Whereas Europe is a very crowded place, a very urban place. The UK is sort of 80% urban. It's incredibly crowded. So it's not very far to deliver stuff. So lots of new trends actually are quite easy to start in the UK, which if you want to bring them across to America, across all 48 contiguous states, never mind Alaska and Hawaii, it's incredibly geographically, logistically challenging. Also, I think that there's a lack of unity to the American banking and electronic payment system, which just blows the minds of UK people that America's come here and they use touchless contact cards to get on the tube or the underground, as you call it, the subway. And they're kind of blind by that. I'm like, I've been doing that for 10 years. It just seems completely normal.
No, I was blown away by that. it's just not our habit. But, you know, but it's also lots of Americans come to London from small towns. So my town, you know, my town has 50,000 people. I come to London and I'm like, what in the world have I stepped into? It's not like New York. It's way bigger than New York. With no disrespect to New Yorkers, London is on a whole different scale. And so anyway, all that to say, I do think the popularization of this type of stuff is interesting. I think you're right. China and UK, European sellers are really pushing into this. And Americans can learn a lot from what's happening. And in the show notes, just as a comment, we have linked up lots of examples. Because this is really a topic where if you see this happen, you will get this. And so we have commonplace, ordinary examples. I don't know these people. I didn't include the examples of my clients in the show notes, and I'll just talk about them generally. But I did just link some examples of random people doing lives, selling their heart out and making money online. And so if you want to check out the show notes, be sure to do that on our website and see the examples. But anyway, let's keep going.
Yeah, just a commentary on that. I guess because, you know, they were Irish and therefore it's kind of more low-key to my British ears than, or so should we say English ears more specifically, than American sellers. They seemed much more just kind of unthreatening, less salesy and kind of charming. The Irish are famous for having a certain charm and not kind of artificial. They just seemed like they were just chatting, sharing their passion, their interest. It felt very unthreatening somehow. It's very, very different from my experience of QVC or home shopping channels, where you normally They specifically pitched what they call, they picked what they call a pitch man, right? And I've spoken to Rick Cesari about this, who was behind some of the QVC sort of early days. And they pick people with crazy energy. Now, it strikes me that the era has changed in the sense that that very in-your-face, very obviously salesy charisma attack, if you like, feels very wrong in the social media kind of world that we live in now. Right. And what struck me is how different I was expecting when you sent me the links to be hit by some guy going, this is so awesome. We've only got 50 left, 40 left. No. It's five. And I was thinking, oh God, what am I going to see? And these ladies were calmly saying, this is beautiful. This goes with everything. You can wear it at casual. You can wear it at night. It's a piece you have in a wardrobe and it's $49. And then they moved on. It was just really low key, which interested me in terms of the culture of social media as opposed to TV, you know?
Imagine a spectrum, and on one end, there's a carnival barker who, you know, when you go to a carnival, they're like, you know, they're just screaming almost to get people to pay attention. And on the other end, imagine going into Barney's or, I don't know, some high-end retail store where you're lucky if they walk, you feel honored if the salesperson walks over to you. But then if they see you as a legitimate customer, then they'll talk very, very kindly to you. And it's not a pressure situation. And so that's the spectrum. And I think the online commerce experience, you're right, HSN and QVC, they would push more to the high energy on TV because they need to get people engaged when you're passing by. But the way you do live commerce is frequently to your own best tribe members or community. And in that way, you don't want to be pushing that envelope to be crazy carnival barker person. You want to be more like, hey, let me show you the details here. This is really powerful stuff. Here's what I've got. Mm. And it's an opportunity to slow sell and to really do your customer a service. And here's the nuance. If you go into a physical retail store, you're psychologically, the science tells us that the longer you stay in the store, the more likely you are to buy something. And because, you know, this stuff's been researched forever. And the online equivalent is important. The online equivalent is how long are you engaged in the act of understanding what the product is all about? And that's why the virtualization of this is really a virtualization of the in-person retail experience. Where on screen you need to be able to say, let me show you how this is put together, let me show you what this is made of, let me show you what goes into this and what the packaging look like, and on and on and on, you know, whatever it is, because you're literally the hands and eyes of the person who can't be touching that thing that you're selling. And I think that's kind of what these live commerce people have tapped into, is they just show the, you know, here's what I got. And it's low key in a way, but powerful.
Yeah. And here's what strikes me. A couple of things. I mean, first of all, that classic sales maxim, tell, don't sell. So tell them what it's all about. But I would say the fact that the medium seems to be the same, because it's a video. And if you watch QVC old videos on YouTube and you happen to watch one of these live commerce on YouTube, the medium is exactly the same as YouTube, right? And it seems like it's the same thing. But what's critical is it's an entirely different context. And the context of TV, you're basically got to do interruption advertising, which is like Facebook ads. They've got to grab you, got to be immediate, got to be kind of high energy, but not necessarily very relatable in a normal human way. Whereas what you're talking about, I think, is all of that's happened. They're engaged. And so I think it's a classic, a very, very strong example of how the superficial similarities of things should never fool us. It's not about the medium, it's the context as a whole. And your relation, the context being, I guess, your relationship. Is it a one to a few, to a tribe, one to many? You know, do they know you from Adam, or do they know you really intimately, really?
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Okay. Agree. So having gained people's receptiveness and interest in them in the product, how do we actually move through to making the sale, and how do the mechanics and the transaction actually happen?
Yeah, sure. There's a couple things that I think people are doing that are very, very on trend. First of all, you have to make the decision whether you're going to do this live commerce exercise publicly, completely publicly, like on a Facebook page or a YouTube channel, or you're going to do it semi, you know, enclosed in a group, for example, so in a Facebook group. And the clients that we work with have done basically the same path, which seems to work very well. And that is that they create out of their entire community a VIP group or an insiders group. And it's a Facebook group that they've put together. Now, there are other use cases that I'll talk about, but in this case, they've put together a Facebook group. And in the Facebook group, then you do your lives and you can set up in literally like a ritualistic time. Like, hey, it's every whatever day of the week at whatever time. It's like your, you know, go live event. And they make it like an event for their VIPs and insiders. And in that way, it really allows them to, you know, not be out there doing this to, you know, let's just say people who don't care, or to, you know, in a public way where people would be like, oh my gosh, I saw my cousin on Facebook. He was doing something so weird. He was selling his stuff. It was, you know, so you, in a way, the fully Facebook page version where you're totally out there is one strategy. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But the inside a group piece is different. And inside a group, you can do a lot of special things. There are apps and tools you can use on Facebook. Comment Sold is one of them, where you can basically have people comment. And in the comment, they literally are accepting or buying the product. And there are tools that really are powerful here. And then you can also just do very simple things like have products that's not publicly available on your website that you can, you know, maybe it's not obviously available on your website, but you can have it be featured inside the group with a special price. You can use coupons, you know, you can have a coupon code system where, you know, nobody else publicly knows about the coupon except your VIPs. And in that way, you really cultivate this high quality customer group who are going to be actively buying and really serve them well with the lives. And so that's sort of the model I've seen my clients use, and it works really well. It's really powerful.
Wow, that sounds, again, it feels like a very organic development from where mm-hmm. everything's been heading, really. Facebook, especially mm-hmm. Facebook Live, has been around for ages. It's kind of mm-hmm. amazing that people haven't done this before. So you're showing us Comment Live here. Tell us about it. If for anyone watching the video, for anyone who's comments, listening.
Yep, Comment Sold is just, I've just put it up on the screen so people could see it, but it's basically a tool that you can use to go live and do a high quality sales process. So it'll be linked up in the show notes as well. Hmm. Comment Sold. And there are other apps, but this one seems to go well. And it's interesting to see how people are using it. And you can go see plenty of examples on their site as well.
Okay, so now one obvious question. We're talking about Facebook. Facebook likes to shut people's advertising accounts down at the drop of a hat, it seems, to anyone even more mm-hmm. trigger happy than Amazon, and we should know. So has Facebook really embraced this? Is it a gray area? Is it within TOS for them?
You know what's amazing? They totally have.
Oh, fantastic.
They even give you guidelines and walkthroughs of how to do it. So again, in the show notes, we'll link up a Facebook for Business. Sell your products live through shopping on Facebook. And they give you the tips, techniques, tools, and walk you through exactly how to do it effectively. And surprisingly enough, I mean, I think at the heart of it, I saw this trend about a year ago. I wrote an article that did well for McGraw-Hill, and it was basically called, I think the title was something to the effect of, is Facebook the Yellow Pages of 20 years ago? Because the Facebook core model of just getting people to show up online and chit chat has really become not valuable, in my view, because so many people hate Facebook conversations. You know, it has not gone well for us socially to be on Facebook together for the most part. And I think what Facebook realized was about a year ago that live selling and marketplace selling and the integration of commerce into the process would be an opportunity for them. In essence, if they can try to kill Craigslist or other type of online selling marketplaces, then they might have an opportunity for a long-term success and not have people basically abandon Facebook for lack of interest in being there and seeing another political post or another whatever geo-bragging or humble-bragging or all the bragging type posts, you know. So I think Facebook is leaning into this idea of commerce in general and live commerce in particular. They're totally down for.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also, it strikes me, and I think we've referenced this sort of fairly obliquely before, that as well as, because we talked about the problem that Facebook has, but as well as a problem, I think it is an obvious opportunity that monetization wise, that the simplest way any blog owner or Google, however sophisticated or unsophisticated you're being, was advertising. Mm-hmm. But it's actually not necessarily the most return on investment way of monetizing things. If you can be an e-commerce platform to a degree and take a percentage in some form, then that suddenly opens up a huge and potentially very lucrative income stream to them. So I can see why they're in favor, which is great. Yeah. Now, we've talked about Facebook so far, but presumably it's not just a Facebook thing, right? Is this possible in other platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a transcendent idea, really. And you know, it's interesting, just as a side note, I think if you look back on what you've seen happen online over the last few years, you'll identify this thread. And now this phrase, live commerce, is just pulling together these use cases or examples that people wouldn't have necessarily looked at before. Twitch is a massive success, and it is a gamer live stream tool. And the power of having that model where people go live and you can subscribe to their Twitch stream and they monetize their playing video games on this platform. And it was sold not long ago for over $1 billion. And Y Combinator CEO Michael is I forget his last name, but he is one of the founders of Twitch. They built a system where live broadcast was monetized. And that's just in the gamer world. And you say, well, that's just gamers. But then if you think about other online educators, people who are the gurus, they've been doing this type of thing for years, where they sell their high ticket courses, their high end trainings through, you know, long online live conversations and presentations. And, you know, those are kind of fringe use cases. But then when you start to see people who make, you know, more pedestrian products doing this, you realize, oh, this is for everybody and on multiple platforms. So beyond Facebook, for sure, Instagram's the obvious thing to push into. TikTok is there. Snapchat's there. YouTube is there. And, you know, these platforms can be used in different ways really, really powerfully. And I think one of the differences here, the point of intersection, is if you aren't comfortable doing live commerce yourself, you can, of course, go get an influencer. And what are the influencers doing? They're doing live commerce, you know, frequently, and or they'll do a recorded version, but it's in essence the same thing. And so I think that's kind of an overlap, but there's real power here for the brand owner themselves, the actual people inside the business, to be the ones doing the detail work of going live and selling, because to be honest, they know so much more about the actual details of the company and the product, the customer needs, than any influencer could. And so I think the platforms are available to us and we should start to learn how to use them in-house, our own approach, our own team members or individually, you know, decide to go live and try this. Yeah.
Interesting. Lots to say here. I mean, the two things I would say is Rick Cesari, who was behind the QVC thing and has now worked with a lot of people like Pluggable and indeed Jason Boyce, who runs Avenue Media, Avenue 7 Media, I think it is, who was, you know, like an 8-figure Amazon seller for ages. Those guys would agree that being your own sort of spokesperson, at least initially, if you can do it, if you have the right kind of thing about it, is more authentic for exactly the things you said. In the end, you're going to know more about the detail, and detail matters to really very, very engaged consumers, I think. You know, the exact detail of how things are made. If you're dealing with fashion, you know, the color, mm-hmm. the texture, the material, yep. all that. And you're going to just know that stuff cold in a way that a salesperson or an influencer wouldn't do. And again, you know what? I think that's another difference in the culture, if you like, of a, you know, rabid fans of a very, very specific thing connecting to a very particular person, as opposed to QVC or home shopping or whatever, where it's a very general mm-hmm. audience. Mm-hmm. And I think charisma and beauty matter when it's a general audience as a way of grabbing and keeping attention. But if you've already got people's attention because the message to market match and the relationship's so strong, then I think, yeah, you're right about that. Makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
The other thing that strikes me is a really simple but profound point that's so big picture you could miss it. We've talked before a lot, and I think it's an incredibly important conversation about the fact that e-commerce, what does that mean? Well, for you, it not only includes, but your whole business is built around digital products, whereas you started with selling dolls' clothes, now you guys sell doll clothes patterns. Now, mm-hmm. this is another thing that the division, if you like, between we do e-commerce, therefore we're not going to look at the info marketing guy stuff. This time it's not about the product, it's about the promotion and sales mechanisms. But again, if people have been using webinars and basically live kind of live streaming for years to sell, you know, back in the day it was the equivalent for Tony Robbins since the 80s, then that's something that we would have stumbled across earlier as e-commerce sellers if we'd been a bit more open, I think, to learning from different industries, related industries. So that's what I would say, you know, be open to learning from related industries and trying it in your own.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree.
Thanks so much for listening to the first half of this little two-part series on live commerce, aka streaming commerce or live selling. Very, very exciting stuff. Sounds like the UK and Europe may be a little bit ahead of the US for once, but actually, before we get ahead of ourselves, China is apparently where it's all been happening. So the Asians are ahead of the game. So very, very much worth checking out. Just to summarize what we've talked about today, it's a big glowing trend. Several clients of Jason's have got into it. It's sort of an update on the QVC idea. And we talked about the culture of salesmanship versus the more intimacy of the culture, the way you're really connected to your own tribe. And whether you're actually going to do something in a private group, like a enclosed Facebook group, or whether you're going to do it more publicly on a Facebook page or whatever. So that's sort of decision you've got to make. And then the comment sold app that makes it very, very easy for people to buy. And then the fact, of course, that it's not just limited to Facebook, although it does lend itself to that. You can use Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube, Twitch, lots, in fact, of different platforms. It's not platform specific. And finally, the idea of really being the person who is the expert in the product, to be the person, the spokesperson for your brand as well, that's most likely to work better with that sort of scenario. But it's something to think through. You may find that if you have somebody who's better at presenting, that you get them to do that. So a bit of an exciting sort of thing to share, to go and explore, and a few sort of ideas to start with. Next time, we're going to get down to a little bit of nuts and bolts. Jason's actually got some really cool, very specific strategies to share to maximize the value of this stuff. So stay listening. It's also, by the way, not just for fashion retailers. I know we talked about clothing and fashion a lot this episode, but there's definitely some other examples as well. So exciting stuff. Stay in touch with us by simply subscribing on any podcast player of your choice. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, sadly, I don't think it's possible yet on Shopify, Spotify. Sadly, not really possible on Spotify yet. Do give us a rating. You can simply tap on your phone and give us the number of stars you wish. You don't even have to write a review, although if you can do, that really helps us. Above all, subscribe and keep listening, because we are really busting a gut to bring out best content we can get out there to make you the best e-commerce leader you can be. Thanks for listening. That was the E-commerce Leader Podcast with Michael Veazey in London, England,
and Jason Miles in Seattle, Washington.
If you liked this content, don't forget to subscribe to the show on your podcast app. For free resources, including PDFs and videos on topics like traffic, products, and sales channels, just go to www.theecommerceleader.com. No hyphens, just as it sounds. Thanks so much for listening.